Good evening. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay and welcome you all here this evening. Would you please stand with me and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, can we have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken to let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Director Leet.
At this time, staff, I'd like to move item H to after item D, because I believe that that's what most of these people are here for, and so therefore we will move that item up in the agenda. At this time, it is the time when we accept public comment. Public comment are comments that have to do with items that are not on the agenda. The water meter discussion is on the agenda under item H and a report that a manager is going to give, so if that's what you're here to speak about, this is not the time for you to speak. If you're here to speak on something that is not on the agenda, i.e. the parking lot, just for example, then this would be your time to come forward. So if you have another item that you would like to speak about, I would like to welcome you to the microphone and speak. Is there anybody that wants to talk about anything other than the water meter? Thank you for your sense of humor. Public comments are closed. Consent calendar.
Move approval.
I'll second.
Any public comment with regards to the consent calendar? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Area agency reports. We have a representative from the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District with a great presentation for us tonight. Ross, good to see you.
Thank you for having me. I didn't realize I was this popular. Thank you for having me tonight. I do appreciate it. I will give you my ops report briefly. And for those that don't know me in the crowd, I'm Battalion Chief Ross McCumber from the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. I am the Chief of Operations, Prevention, and the PIO. So for the month of March, the district ran 42 calls in Discovery Bay. Most of those calls were medical in nature, and there were no major incidents in Discovery Bay. The average response time was 9 minutes and 17 seconds. In the month of March, the fire district itself ran 670 calls. This included 6 residential structure fires, 1 commercial structure fire, 3 vehicle fires, 1 large vehicle fire, and 2 vegetation fires. Although those vegetation fires were small roadside in nature, they were just called in as such. District also responded to 28 vehicle accidents, with an additional 11 of those requiring rescue and extrication. 5 vehicle versus pedestrian accidents, 3 motorcycle accidents, and 1 bicycle accident. For district outreach, our strategic planning interviews are currently going on and our legislative initiatives are really beginning to materialize. As some of you have seen, Chief Helmick has spent some time in the last couple weeks in Sacramento, spreading the district's message to Sacramento legislators. On top of that, he has attended the Fire District Association California Conference, and as of today, he was at the CSDA Special Leadership Academy. Again, those are all things we're trying to do for outreach, just to spread our district message and let everybody know what is going on in our fire district throughout the state. We'll continue these events as they occur, and Chief Helmick will be giving a full update on our next fire board meeting. Also, we were able to participate in the Campos Vineyards event just recently and the food truck event in Discovery Bay. We would like to publicly thank the Discovery Bay Chamber of Commerce for inviting us and having us over. Our members gave us a lot of good feedback, and it was a great event, and we look forward to them inviting us to future events. So thank you, Discovery Bay Chamber of Commerce. And another reminder that with the recent rains, the brush will begin growing. I keep preaching this message, but just remember, fire season's right around the corner. The weeds are getting taller. Please cut your weeds now and don't wait until July. For further information on that, you can visit our fire district website, bccfpd.org. We have the district's weed ordinances up on there. If you have any questions, feel free to email me and call me. So that is my operational report.
Thank you, sir. I believe you have something else for us?
I do. So,
can I ask just one question?
Go ahead, please.
On the operational report.
Yes.
It maybe it's just me, but it seems as though we've had a very large surge of vehicle accidents in the last month, say. Is that true?
That is true. Why, we don't know. They come in waves. A lot of calls like that do come in waves. It's one of those just odd things that fires kind of happen that way too. We'll have months where we have a lot of fires, we'll have months where we have none. So I don't have an answer to why the bucket, but all over our fire district, we've had an increase in vehicle access, not just in the Discover Bay Byron area, but even in the Oakley and Highway 4 or Laurel areas too.
And now,
I will try and keep this brief. That's in the top level. So, I was asked to make a presentation tonight on community AEDs and CPR and Pulse Point. I put together a little presentation to show everybody the board, talking about value and the value of community AEDs and community arms CPR. So, community AEDs save lives. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death for adults over 40 years old, and approximately 250,000 deaths per year occur outside the hospital setting. And that explains itself. If you include the hospital setting, cardiac arrest actually accounts for over 500,000 deaths per year. That means all over America, every day, every hour, people are dying of cardiac arrest on the street corner, in their homes, businesses, churches, wherever. Many of these cases, as they collapse, they demonstrate what they call ventricular fibrillation or ventricular tachycardia. While I won't go into the nuts and bolts of explaining the cardiac and how hearts work, what those are heart rhythms that cause people to go into cardiac arrest that can be fixed by having an AED. So this is where they are crucial. Community AEDs, to where if you're at a soccer game, if you're at a swimming event like we have going on right here right now, somebody collapses, an AED within the vicinity can potentially save that person's life. So according to the American Heart Association, communities with comprehensive AED programs that include CPR and AED training achieve survival rates of nearly 40% of cardiac arrest victims. The normal rate of success without these programs is about 6%. To have community AEDs, to have community members trained in CPR, raises this rate significantly. This is something we want to do. This is something we want to work with our community partners, such as yourselves, to start trying to achieve. So, the district and town of Discovery Bay have been working together to find solutions to add more AEDs to the community. When we do this, this would include training and education for the community, a community-wide outreach, community-wide push to let people know where the AEDs are, let them know where they can get CPR training. We're also working on a couple things internally about doing some CPR trainings and some first aid trainings for the community. I'm not letting that cat out of the bag yet, but it's a project we're working on. Okay. We want to bring in some outside partners like American Medical Response, who have the ability to do some of this training with us and be a good community partner. Also look for some grants and some funding sources. There's grants everywhere out there, we know that. Funding sources include things like Rotary, things like chambers that can help us raise funds to put AEDs in a community where they're maybe underserved. Also ask community groups out here, not just the town itself, but maybe community groups, maybe clubs that are interested in this kind of thing, to be partners with us. The more partners, the better when we implement projects like this. We want to also target locations and facilities that would benefit from having the AEDs. Now, there is one here, perfect location, but we want them everywhere. We want them everywhere where people gather, that in the instance that somebody has a heart attack, that somebody in that crowd can go get an AED in a quick manner of time, apply it, and potentially save that person's life. Once we get all this together, set goals for implementation. And you always got to have a goal. My goal overall is, doing something like this, is get AEDs in the community, get everybody trained, and get everybody trained to respond in case their neighbor, their friend, or just an acquaintance has a heart attack. So I talked about Pulse Point there for a second. What is Pulse Point? Pulse Point is a free app for all mobile devices that can help, that what it was designed to do is help public agencies improve cardiac arrest survival rates. It was a concept brought up just over the hill in San Ramon, and now it is nationwide. What it does is it allows citizens to be aware of incidents on top of cardiac arrest incidents. So I'm sure there's people in here who have Pulse Point. You probably get dinged every time we get a vehicle accident, a fire. But its initial rollout was designed for people to get a notification that if wherever they were, they could be notified of someone in cardiac arrest and actually provide help. However, there is one problem right now, and this is out of our hands. Pulse Point is working on it. There's some HIPAA issues with them dispatching out a cardiac arrest notification for a private residence. So they're working on that. Matter of fact, I had a phone call with them today. I'll talk about that in a sec. But it's something like if your next door neighbor goes down, they won't be able to notify you. But if you are at like a Round Table, Safeway, McDonald's, somebody goes into cardiac arrest, that'll come up on a pulse point for people who have applied to the app, want to get notified about a CPR in the area. And we hope that the community members would respond to that, because that's our goal, saving lives. Pulse Point AED is something else. If you don't have the app and you see these apps, I hope you download both of them. They're free again. The Pulse Point AED app is simply for cataloging AEDs in the community. So if anybody has that right now, and I'll show you a slide here in a sec, the AED here actually is on their map. It got logged in as there, and a verified responder, which would be our fire district, we go in and say, yep, there's an AED there. We hit the OK, and it's in there, and you can find it on the map at any time. So if anybody here knows of AEDs, I know we put something out on our social media that we wanted you to define some locations where they were so we can check. If we have missed one, please email us. We have a form on our website, and we'll come out and verify that AED. So as you can see right there, I took a snapshot of what Pulse Point AED looks like. We have three in less than quarter mile radius, and that's a good thing. So all verified, I wish I could see that in a little bit better, but all verified AEDs look like that in their Pulse Point AED map system. You could be at an airport in Arizona, and if they're part of Pulse Point, same thing, you would see the AEDs in the airport, New York, all across America. I hope that was brief enough. I wanted to take some questions, but I don't think nobody wants to talk to me tonight. So, however, I will assist anybody.
No, wait, yeah. Are there any questions with regards to AEDs from the? Yes.
There's three locations. Which are? Do you know where they are?
I do. They're at the office behind the church. They're here and they're over at the gym.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I want that one. Right behind you. Yes.
Got a quick Pulse Point question. Can you tell us why East Contra Costa County Radio has been off the air for 3 days, and a couple months ago it was off for 3 weeks?
So that I can't answer for you, but I can find that out. There has been some radio issues with Ebrix lately. There's the East Bay Regional Communication System, and that had to do with a lightning strike that happened 2-3 weeks ago in Storms Camp, which is an issue that I'm always sending.
Another question? Speak up.
There might be. I just took a snapshot of just what this area was where we were in. Again, to find out locations, download the AED app on Pulse Point and download that Pulse Point app itself. My contact information is up there. If anybody wants to shoot me an email, call me more about the subject, please do. I'm going to leave some business cards in the back of the room. And we are here to help you. And just as something that I didn't get to put in the slide, talk to Pulse Point today. We're going to be doing a relaunch of Pulse Point sometime. We're looking end of May, beginning of June. So I had a big conference call with them today. Something I couldn't add to the slides yet because I just didn't know when it was going to be. So expect to see us start rolling that out soon.
Chief, thank you very much for your presentation. Any comments from the board? Question?
Just one. I just want to reiterate the need for this AED and the importance to Discovery Bay. If you can correct me if I'm wrong, but over 80% of the calls into Discovery Bay are medical. You had said a majority, and I think it's the large majority.
Absolutely, and if not higher.
And just with the 9-minute response time on the fire, and we understand that the AED program can help save lives here at Discovery Bay.
Absolutely, and even if our response time is 4 minutes, we want people trained to use AEDs, know how to do CPR. We want everybody to be able to help us save lives. There's no egos here. If you know CPR, I want you to help your neighbor until we get there. 2 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. So, and that's why we're really starting to push a lot of this knowledge.
Great. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your presence.
Good night.
Great.
Good
job. Yeah. Okay. At this time, I would like to move item H forward.
Staff report. Staff report first.
Right. Okay, go ahead. Staff, go ahead.
Okay, we have a report from our finance director, Dina, on the water meter installation project and billing.
Okay. Good evening, Dina.
Good evening. So I put together a quick PowerPoint just to give you an overview of the water meter project and where we are budget-wise. So this is our overview. The total budget that we budgeted for this project was $3.11359 million. Our actual was $3,129,107.95. That brought us in at $17,748 over budget. So, and some of those things, why we were over budget, were some of the differences between type 1s, type 2s, and type 3s. Other items would be a big cost of, we'll move on to the bond amount. What we borrowed for the bond was $1.5 million. The par amount, we had a nice OEI discount of $198,000, and so then we're paying back $1.335 million. The total bond interest, that will be the shared cost of interest, is $398,001.67. The total reserves that we borrowed from ourselves is $1.6,029,107. The number of meters that we installed were 3,496 individual projects. The least expensive meter installation was $582.81. The most expensive meter installation was $4,341.93. The total average installation was $923.80. We set a deadline to pay upfront of May 15th of 2018, and all payment plans will begin August of 2018 on your water bill. So this slide is just showing that now the project is complete. I'm just comparing your projected actuals projected to your actuals. So we projected that the number of installs was 3,531. We installed 3,496. The total product cost, we thought we were going to spend $1.288 million, and our actual costs were $1.205 million. The number of Type 1 constructions, we estimated about 500 of those. There were, in actuality, only 306. The number of Type 2 constructions, we thought would be 2,351. We actually installed 2,648 type 2s. The number of type 3 constructions were 500, and the number that we actually installed were 522. For a time and materials construction, we actually budgeted about one of those, and that one was about $15,000. The number of time and materials construction were actually 19. The JW shared costs, we budgeted a total of $120,000, and the shared costs were spent at $120,000. The Ludolf Scavanini, our project engineer, who ran this project for us, we budgeted $185,000. Our share cost for that and actuals were $389,619. Now the reason for that is that we budgeted this project for 6 months. This project actually took us almost a year, and the reason for that is we were going to spread the cost of these projects, and actually the individual residents wanted us to charge them for their own meter installation. Therefore, that made the project a little bit more difficult, and we had to extend the Ludolf and Scalmanini contract for that because we didn't budget for that to begin with. So, the town shared costs were $70,000, and we spent $70,000. The town contingency costs were $45,000, and we spent $49,971.
Well, I do want to point out the contingency. You skipped over that one inadvertently there.
Yes.
We budgeted 131 and we only spent 10% of that.
Yes, we did. The next slide just shows an example of the resident letter that went out on April 12th. So this is an example of the letter and the wording in the letter.
We gave two payment options. The first payment option was to pay in full by May 15th of 2018. The second payment option was a payment plan, and the first billing of that would have been in August of 2018. So you will see it on your water bill as a line item in August. Okay. Any questions on that slide? Yeah. All right, this next slide I wanted to show is an example of the shared interest payments for residents who are financing. The total interest that we're paying on the bond only is $398,001.67. We are not charging any interest for the money that we borrowed from reserves for that payback. So we're just showing some examples here. So if 496 people pay up front, then the balance of the number of people sharing the cost of the interest is 3,000 people. That total over 10 years is $132.67, which equates to $1.11 per month. We'll choose another line item. So that same interest amount, if 996 people pay up front, the number of individuals sharing in that balance are 2,500 people. That is a cost of $159.20 over 10 years. That equates to $1.33 per month on your water bill. Okay. Would you like me to continue on down the list? If you're okay? All right. Okay. So the last slide we put together for you is the water meter.
Order, please.
The last slide that we put together is the water meter installation and bond interest payback scenarios. So we wanted to give a couple of examples of how we will calculate this. Once we receive payment in full from some individuals, then the balance will be calculated this way. The cost of the project was $3,129 and change. Okay? The portion of the reserves was $1.629 million. The bond principal was $1.5 million. That equates to, the reserve balance equates to 52% of the total cost of the project, and the bond principal equals 48% of the total cost of the project. The bond interest remains the same as $398K. Now, if 2,500 people are financing this project, the cost of the meter installation, we'll give an example, is if the cost of their meter installation is $1,500, this is what they'll be paying back. For the total, should have brought my glasses. So for the 52% of the reserve payback is $780.95. The 48% of the bond payback is $719.05. The total interest they'll be paying back over time will be $159.20. Okay. That equates to, if you look, that equates to, for the bond interest, $21.69. The 120-month bond payback would be $5.99 a month. The interest would be $1.33. Therefore, for the first 36 months on their water bill, they will be paying $29.01 plus their water usage. The last 84 months, they'll be paying $7.32 plus their water usage. Okay. Would you like me to run through another scenario, or do you have any questions?
Any questions from the board? Clarification? No. That helps a little bit, give people an idea of what. Of course, we won't know what those numbers are until we know how many people are committed to paying up front and how many are committed to financing. but that does give us some examples, and I appreciate you doing that because I think that is part of what the question is. Without having a crystal ball and being able to see into the future and seeing what that percentage is going to be or how many people will actually pay, all we can do is project at this point. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that these are just examples based on projected numbers, but we don't have those numbers yet until the deadline, which is May 15th. So,
these are available.
Yeah, this chart is available back on the, hopefully there's enough. That won't be enough. They're going to be available.
They'll be on the website eventually.
And they're going to be on the website, so you can just go right on the website. There's also a page of frequently asked questions, which should address some of the questions that people may have or not on the website. And I think we're, Dina, thank you very much for that presentation.
Public comment.
Okay, at this time, we're going to open the floor up to public comment. I have some speaker cards, which I will call first, and I've been up here shuffling around, so just randomly pull the order that I'm going to call. We have a lot of people that want to speak, and we want to hear from everybody. We typically allow each 3 minutes, but if that were to occur, we may be here till midnight, and we're willing to do that. I don't know if you are. So I would ask you to try to keep your comments as short and concise as possible. And if you are agreeing with what somebody else has said, rather than just be redundant, it's okay to just say, I agree with that, or I want to reiterate that. Just to move things along a little bit so everybody gets an opportunity to speak, because we want to give everybody that wants to speak an opportunity to speak.
You're going to take all comments and then...
Right, and understand that the way that a board meeting works under the Brown Act that we are controlled by state law, we are not going to be having a dialogue with you. This is for public comment. It's not a Q&A. So if you come up and ask a question, There will be a staff member that will record that question, and you can contact the office.
We may be answering some of these. I'll take the public.
The office is staffed full time during business hours. So
they don't call back.
Excuse me. We'll have comments from the podium. One at a time, or we won't have comments. That's the way it has to work. It just has to be controlled, polite, respectful from both sides. We are not going to respond to your comments from the board. That's not the way it works. It's never the way it works. It doesn't matter what the situation is. We will record those questions. If we feel that we can answer some of those questions at the end of all the comments, we will try to do that to the best of our ability. Correct? Council? Great. First person up is Vic McKenzie.
Pass.
Okay. Frank Visit.
Visiting.
Frank, I can't read your T. Oh, there's a T.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
Okay. Frank Visiting, 940 Disurvey Boulevard. I've been here since 1989. Some of this stuff I said back in February of 2017. Basically, that the state mandated suitable water meters by January 2025. The state did not mandate expensive smart water meters. The city of Riverside and the city of Mount Shasta paid for water meters. There are others out there, but I don't have those documented. The CSD has money in reserves to pay for water meters. There was $6.7 million in the fiscal year 2015-2016, $7.4 million in fiscal year 2016-17, $8 million in 17/18, about $1 million a year. The CSD could have waited 3 years to put these meters in, and it would have covered the cost. What I'm saying is that the CSD should pay for the water meters and the installation. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
can't move forward if you guys are going to be disruptive every time somebody speaks. I appreciate that, but we want to move forward and give everybody a chance to speak. The next is Eric Morales.
Morales.
Hello, sir.
Eric Morales, 1853 Cedar Way. The election for the town to put in the infrastructure and the high cost of these type of meters for a community of this size, in my opinion, was way over and above the necessity of a water meter. When the governor mandated that we all have to have water meters due to the drought, he didn't say that we ought to have smart meters. I understand that, you know, the whole concept of the smart meter technology, I happen to work for the other utility in a capacity that is very close to that. But the fact of the matter is the smart meter technology in other utilities has proven to be as much as 8 times the original cost of what it would cost to have a meter reader go out and read the meters. In a community of this size, one meter reader could have read all the meters in this entire community in a month. To elect to spend millions of dollars to put in the infrastructure for this type of technology in a town this small was excessive and wasteful. Thank you.
Okay, Mel Skinner.
They will shut this down if you guys keep doing that. They have to maintain order. Don't keep clapping this.
Thank you. Mel Skinner. Mel? I'll try again. Bill Helfrich.
Bill Helfrich, 661 Beaver Court. I know this was a state-mandated, unfunded project that was dumped on you. The original proposal was a shared across-the-board cost of approximately $900 per installation. Was in the original concepts that were presented. There was a lot of discussion, and you switched to the method of the trying to identify the type 1, 2, and 3 tiers and identifying the costs for each of those different water meter installations. So you came up with an individual cost. However, we knew this was going to come when you actually sent the bills out. Really wasn't understood, and again, I think that goes to the issue of how things are communicated to the 3,500 people who got these meters. I do believe that the board should consider some way of paying all or not, if not all, part of the installation costs for the individuals.
Thank you, Bill. Barbara Elliott. Hello, ma'am.
Hello, good evening. 1247 Marina Circle. I've actually learned a lot from coming to this meeting because I haven't been able to come to the prior meetings. I have a few questions, and you don't have to answer them now, but if they could be addressed on the website, that'd be great. Why such a short amount of time to pay? If this is not going to go into effect until August, why is we only have this short amount of time to pay in the pool? And the other question that seems to come up, at least in our family, is we understand there were a bunch of meters that were stolen. Are we paying for those through all of this project? Because we had to start all over. Because we actually had a meter box put in at our home that was supposed to be exactly what was supposed to be for the ones that were stolen. And then we ended up having to pay for a new one. And I'll call and ask these questions. I hope I get a response from the office.
Not a single stone.
I'm just the average homeowner, and it's a lot of money. I could actually come up with that money, but not within 30 days. And how to finance and have more interest, it's just, nobody wants that. That's why we pay off our credit cards. Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. Steve Stourette. Hello, sir.
Hi there. I'm Steve Starrett. I've lived out here since 1982. I got two quick questions. The first one is the installation itself, and who was the watchdog keeping an eye on the contractor and checking up on their decision as to how much it cost to put a meter in? My meter is in a platter, dirt with river rock. I moved the river rock out of the way. They came in, they dug the whole thing up. I asked, why are you digging it up and replacing the box? He said, because they had a problem on the street side of the water line. And they had to dig it up to fix the line coming in from the street to my box. I asked specifically the guy doing it, he said, if we didn't have to do that, we would have put the meter in your box, put a cover on it, walked away. Would have taken them an hour. So I don't think I should be paying for the repairs to the CSD water line coming into my box.
Agreed.
So I asked the city for a detail number, and who sends out bills without details? Now the CSD can send me a detail of my charges so I can see what it is, but I want somebody to go back to the contractor and say, or somebody explain why I'm paying more because they had to fix something in on the street side. Number two, this financing plan can only be done by a government. No business and no individual would ever do a financing plan like this. You borrow, round numbers, $3 million. If half the people pay back $1.5 million, you're still gonna charge interest for everybody else on $3 million. You got half the money back. It sounds like a big windfall to the CSD. How can you still charge us $390-some thousand interest if 2,500 people pay up front? You shouldn't have borrowed the money till you knew how much you needed. So that's my comment.
Okay.
A little bit better management here would happen.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
And I was at every meeting.
Thank you, Steve. Steve August.
No, no, that's perfect.
He's
done. Yeah, my name's Steve August. I've been out here for 26 years. I'm a retired fireman from Oakland. A lot of questions have been answered here. One especially just recently about where did you come up with the figures. Now I know you're not going to answer any of my questions, but here's what I want you guys to do. Is all these questions are posed, if you guys are really transparent, which you professed that you were going to be when you were elected, you put it on the website. You tell exactly what transpired, okay, and how this whole thing came about. I have just these questions. You could, Secretary, you can jot these down. How many bids were there? You can answer this on your website. Who signed the bid? We want to see the bid and the signature of who signed it. Who verified billing? Did anybody on this board or anybody employed by this organization verify that the bill that I got, okay, was actually what they did? Okay? Believe me, mine wasn't done correctly, okay? They answered the question, 1.5 million. Where did that come from? You guys had 1.6 million, I believe. I was in the back and I couldn't hear very well. So actually there must have been a bid out there for somewhere over $3 million. Was that how you presented it to the people in Discovery Bay, that 1.5 million was going to have to be put out in a bond? I want to know where the 1.5 million came from. Somebody gave you a number of 3-point-something million or whatever to do this job. Where did it come from? Did somebody go out and assess every property and how much work had to be done? I don't know. You're not going to answer these questions tonight, obviously. Put it in your website if you want to be transparent. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you, Steve. Terry Mahaney.
Yeah, hi, Terry Mahaney. I'm usually down here for the speed on the schedule.
Glad we gave you something else to talk about
tonight. Yeah, sorry, I come down here. Anyhow, the only thing that I would like to see is I have a request in to have my bill itemized. You never go to a car dealership to get your car worked on, and if it comes back with a bottom line, you know, you don't know what work they did. I don't know what work these guys did. I talked to six of my neighbors. Everybody's different for basically the same amount of work. What I would like to request from you guys is possibly, since we're going to start all of the monthly stuff in August, can we push out the pay it all one time or decide to do the 10-year thing until August or until everybody gets their itemized thing on what was actually done so they can go over and say, okay, was that right or was that not right? And who we contact if we have a question to, you know, ask for another assessment. So thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Gil Arthur.
Evening. Thanks for having me speak. Gil Arthur, 1802 Dunepoint Place. First off, our neighborhood, there's many different properties. They all have similar installations, and we all have different prices. There shouldn't be any more work done for the similar installation. They're all different prices. And they didn't even replace any of the grass. They just set it in place and didn't do anything with it. So I had to go out there and replant the sod that they pulled out. That was my own labor. They didn't do a complete job. And I have an understanding that from the meters to the street is the city's responsibility. And I feel that from beyond the meter to our house, it's our responsibility. We should be responsible for that, and the city should be responsible, or the district should be responsible for the meter installation. And I understand that if all the residents would finance, it'd be $1.11 per month added to our bill. And if most of them paid up front, it would be $33.17 a month added to the bill. That seems ludicrous. I believe that there shouldn't be an option to pay it up front if it's going to be only a dollar added to our bill, if we have to pay it all.
Interest. $1.11 is interest.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gordon Dean.
There he is.
Right. Mr. Dean.
Hi, it's Gordon Dean. I live at 5455 SU. I've worked in construction for 42 years. These prices seem to do 3,500 homes seems like they're too much. Mine was 900. My bill was $1,500 bucks, and then construction cost to cut the hole is $950. I mean, they were there to cut the cement too big. Wish they could have cut it smaller and put concrete caulking around it and did it easier. And then to put the cement in, $1,000? I mean, my God, how many hours were they there? I was home. They were there about a half hour each phase. So how much do they get an hour? This whole thing just seems way out of line. Thank you.
Thank you. Peter Herodis?
Herodis. I'm at 3986 Bolinas. It's easy. I have two properties. They were there, same amount of work, both places. It was less than 45 minutes. I'd like an itemized bill as to why the differences in the two properties.
Thank you. Michael Hicks.
Oh, and we called the office. Nobody's calling back.
I live in the Gulf for 23 years.
years. I was home when the people came over. It took them 15 minutes. If it took them that long, I stood right there and watched them do it. My neighbor, we got a bill for $700-some-odd. The lady across the street's got a bill for under $800. My bill's $1,500. Now, I know you guys are not going to answer any questions. My wife worked for 9 years with Pleasanton Water Company, and she all know now works for Brentwood. She could have put the meter in. She's put in a smart meter and applied. She could have put the meter in. I would have bought the meter, put it in. There's no problem with that. What I want to know is who's going to answer questions. Where do you go? I don't want to pay $1,500. I don't think this is acceptable. It's not acceptable work. It's not acceptable to me. And the two choices are you can either pay for it or you can pay interest on it. Those are the two choices. Those aren't choices. Those are demands. So who do I need to talk to? I've called your offices and no one's there to talk to. Nobody knows anything and nobody calls me back. So if you can answer one question, how do I protest or talk to somebody about this bill that's not correct? And the idea was, you're going to send me a signal or you're going to write me a letter?
I will, just as there are, I'm going to guess about 100 people here tonight, that's just a small portion of the phone calls we've gotten at the office. So the office is manned. They can't answer everything at once. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying they're backlogged. We're not going to hire more staff to handle the situation because that's just,
Well, like I said, my wife works for a water company and she has a staff of over 30 people. You know, and now this is nowhere near the size of Brentwood or Pleasanton. But my point is somebody, somewhere there has to be somebody that can answer these questions. And I don't want to pay $1,500. I'll have my wife take the bill and take the damn thing out. She can take it out. I mean, this isn't a legitimate charge. This is what you decided to charge me. I didn't vote on it. I wasn't asked about it. I wasn't told how much it was going to be. And it's nowhere clear to what my neighbors are. I mean, it's twice as much as my neighbors. And his water meter's there, and my water meter's here. I watched the two guys come up, guy with a truck over here, guy with a truck over here, shovel, boom, boom, boom. Then the guy went this, stuck in that. Then the trucks went down. Another guy went, put in the deal and patted it down. Come on. You know, I've been in a professional retail for a long time. I didn't make $1,500 in 15 minutes. I mean, this is absurd. So there must be someone or somewhere that you can ask and talk about. This has got to be negotiable. Not just, well, here's your bill, good luck. And if you don't want to pay it, too bad. Here's your two options. They're not options. They're demands. You have no right to do that. I pay property taxes.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Well, you're going to answer? Who do I have to talk to?
Talk to you. We have people in the office.
Comments. Huh? Into the comments, we'll make some
we'll
comments.
We'll make all the comments at the end. Thank you. Oh. Trace.
No waste of time.
Sir.
Good enough.
Grotenstaff?
Close enough.
Thank you.
There's no correct way to pronounce it. I would like to please ask the board and Mr. Davies if they would consider letting us put the installment charges on our credit card since we pay the water bill on the credit card. I think that would help out a lot of the community financially, and if that could be considered, I would sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment, Grace. Okay. I'm going to call, there's two more cards that I have here that I called once before. I'm going to call them one more time. So if you're here, you can come up and comment. Is Mel Skinner here?
Yes.
Would he like to comment?
Yes.
I'm Mel Skinner, 551 West Hardwood Court. And I'd like to ask a question. Who justifies the type of work that was being done? I mean, you got three different charges in our call set. And to me, this looks like a lawsuit waiting to happen. I just like to cut this off before it gets to a lawsuit. But you know one's going to be coming. Everybody's going to be signing for it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Vic McKenzie.
Good morning.
Okay, any other public comment? Anybody that would like to come forward and speak? You have the floor. Please come up orderly.
Go ahead.
Tarantino, I've been here about 25 years. I went to a lot of the meetings last year. I do believe, I recall that a full survey was done of each property and how much it would cost for each property, and that's how we came to the budget. And then we exceeded the budget. Again, somebody asked who signed off. You know, we were told this is how much it's going to cost. Each property was given an exact amount, and that's how you put the whole budget on. So if I were to call the office, and for you to expect us to pay the bill in 30 days, when there is not enough staff to even take our phone calls to give us a detailed line item, again, somebody said, if you pick up a car and the bill's $1,000 with no line items, I don't think anybody would pay that bill. I think it should just be automatic that you send out a full detailed explanation bill that you expect to be paid in 30 days. You wouldn't have as many phone calls that you can't even answer. That's only the right thing to do. You should extend the 30 days, and you should send everybody an itemized bill of why their property costs. Because I know more than two people who are side by side, done at the same time, and there's an $800 difference between the two of them.
Amen.
And yes.
So I think my opinion is extend it out, give everybody a detailed line item, man the phones properly. You can't expect everybody to pay in 30 days when you can't even return a phone call or get them a detailed line item.
Yes.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
John Miller, 5751 Salmon Court. I do have one factual question, which you may choose to answer or not, but it will certainly inform my comments if you answer it. If everybody pays up front, who pays the $390,000 of interest? Is that a question you can answer or not?
We don't anticipate everybody.
We'll answer.
We're making note of all the questions.
So other people comment on this, but you guys need to realize you've essentially set up a prisoner's dilemma among all the residents of Discovery Bay. Because if everybody financed it, the interest is about 2% a year. I'm a financial advisor. If I can borrow money at 2%, I'm going to borrow it all day. Okay? Everybody should finance this at 2% a year.
Really?
Okay? Now, having said that, unless I know that everybody's going to do it, am I really going to risk being in a pool of 250 people who all of a sudden are going to be financing it at 25% a year or something ridiculous? And so perhaps one way out of this is for the town to create a mechanism by which people could pre-commit to financing it. And at the point where they have to make a decision, know how many people are going to participate in it. And hopefully that would get everybody to say, geez, I have the confidence that if I do go ahead and finance it, I'm going to be paying something like 2% a year rather than, you know, maybe I'm the only one and I have to pay all $390,000.
Thank you, sir. I've had those same thoughts.
My name is Steve Fortune, 1867 Dolphin. When they came down my block to install my meter, unfortunately I had a broken pipe prior to them doing it. So I took the time to go ahead and kind of hover over these guys as they were doing the job. Took them all of 10 to 15 minutes. They lifted the lid up. There was no dirt in there. All they needed to do, obviously, was turn off the water, take the old meter out, put the new meter in, put two couplings in, and that was all they did. No new box, nothing whatsoever in the way of destruction, in the way of cement work, cutting of any of the stuff there. They didn't have to move any of the foliage around, any of the grass, nothing. I've checked with six of my neighbors. They had more extensive work done to all of their boxes, and they all got new boxes, and they were all charged $800 a piece. I was charged $2,400. Oh. How can that be real?
You've already had an opportunity.
Yeah, just like that. I did not use up my time. I raised my hand. I've got an additional comment. What is the recourse for not paying the bill? The way I understand it, if you don't pay the bill, we'll go to collections. If you go to collections and they put a judgment against you, you have the option to pay off the judgment or have a lien against your property. So in the event that you have a lien against your property, then you get the bill paid when you sell the house. Now, I don't think that's the direction that the whole town wants to go in, but they need to understand that is a direct line of the way the process works. If the town doesn't come up with some kind of better method than this, and everybody decides not to pay the bill, you guys are on the hook for a lot of money. Should have thought that through.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Anybody else? Come up to the man. We're not taking. Now,
this is why.
This is why.
This is why I said
why
don't
we
do it.
You've had your opportunity to speak. That's the way it works.
Hi, my name is Ronnie Munoz. I live on Crestwick Drive, and I'm speaking for everybody that live on Crestwick.
Okay.
We all want a lot of money back. You guys are charging us. I was home that day. I watched them go from the end of the street to the other end. It took them 4 hours to do how many houses? 12, 15 houses? Like one person said, how much money do they make an hour? I need to get into that business. Seriously, that's crazy. And for you guys to charge that much and each person is this much different, doesn't make sense at all. And you do the right thing. You know, this is a problem with everybody, is nobody's doing the right thing. You need to do what's natural, what's right, and don't be screwing people. That's all there is to it. Somebody got paid off. Somebody's doing something because these numbers don't even add up. Why did that guy charge $2,400 for the same work I got charged, $795? I watched him do nothing. He cut out my lawn. I had to push it back in. He took the thing, sawzall, went whoop, whoop, pulled out the thing, put in the new one. Didn't even take 10 minutes. I'm paying $795 for 10 minutes.
Just tell him to come on up.
I'm Judy McSinski. I'm on Dolphin. It's the same issue as everybody else. My husband and I were both home. They were there for maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. They didn't have to tear anything apart. It was already there. And they charged us $1,045. And I think that's a bit much. Thank you.
Well, they did pull some good jobs. So
I'm Linda Taylor. I'm on Starboard. My question is, there are a lot of people who are concerned about their bills and what the cost is. So, and I luckily got through today to someone and requested an itemized bill. I don't know how I was so lucky to get through, but I did. My question is, once I get that itemized bill, which was $1,500, which is an excessive amount of money for the amount of time they were there. If I disagree with it, how do I contest it? That's what I want to know. How? Because I believe there are a lot of people with a lot of concerns about these bills are wrong. Who oversaw them? How do we verify that they are correct? And how do we contest it if it's wrong?
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michelle Corp, Matt Benetti. I haven't been here too long, but I kind of just want to speak on behalf of everybody else. I've been in the plumbing industry for about 8 years, and I know how quickly these things get installed. They take no time, no effort, and the price for everything is way overdone. And like I said, I didn't even get a new box, and I wasn't here when they installed them, so I don't know how long they are. But the one thing I want to say, too, is if we all pay this, is this a tax deduction?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. And hey, got to ask.
Joe Brown will actually contribute to this next guy.
The other thing is, too, did this whole project go out to bid, or did just one person get it? Because I know my company, we do San Ramon Water District, Dublin San Ramon, Cal Water, Livermore, all that, and none of those people get charged for meters. The water district itself pays for the meter, like someone said before, up to the meter. After the meter, it's on the homeowner. So that's why I don't understand why everybody got paid for this.
Oh, yeah.
So, my understanding is we went way over on engineering costs, is what I'm understanding, right? Really, not the construction company going in and doing the work. The engineering was supposed to be $107,000, it turned out to be $300,000. So, I think we need to do something about the engineering. That's where I see the problem is engineering.
That's
only $200,000. But, my name's Emerson, I'm a Discovery Point. The only thing I can see, we need more transparency. The billing is so screwed up, and everyone's saying, hey, I got this work done, and I'm going to pay $800 more than the next guy. So when they do the billing and straighten it out, they should leave it on the website so people can see, hey, this is what he paid, this is what I paid, that's fair. He paid $1,000 more than I did, that's not fair. So make it fair and make it open and transparent. I think the billing should be put out where everyone can see what the other neighbors are paying for their meters.
Hi, I'm Mike Conway. I live on Sandpoint Court. You paid something over $300,000 to have somebody manage this installation, and it looks like they really screwed it up. My question is, do we already pay them? Do we get some of that money back? Because obviously, bills don't jive. Thank you.
Please. If you have comments, please come forward. We want to hear them.
Hi, I'm Alicia. I'm on Double Point. I just wanted to know because 10 years is what they put for if you're making payments. Are you locked in because you're trying to pay the interest for the 10 years? Or can you like double up like a credit card and pay it off sooner? Or how does that work?
Don't pay it.
Chuck Palmer, 5490 Beaver Lane. Thanks for letting us speak tonight. I attended three of the preliminary meetings, and the key word here was transparency. We were told, I actually had Virgil come out to my residence, evaluate, and tell me I was the easiest installation possible. And when my bill came, it was non-automized, and it was not the easiest installation possible, by the cost associated with bills. The key word across the three meetings I attended with my wife was transparency and consistency in where we're coming forward. None of those have been addressed. As we can all see, everybody in this room and everybody across this community is questioning what's going on here. So the transparency is not there. If your staff can't return phone calls, you have a problem with your staff. If you can't respond to the community to which you were elected to serve, you have a problem within yourself. Before you put out the letters to the community members, you knew there was going to be an issue when you couldn't look at yourself and figure out your own bill. Okay? If you look across all members across this board, I guarantee you none of you has the same dollars and cents. When you have meters side by side, they go into the top of the meter, as Virgil described, and go, you've already been updated, you're ready to go. Am I paying for something that was done 5 or 10 years ago? If you guys own from the meter to the street, when I move and I pay for the meter, I'm taking it with me.
I'm a retired contractor, and I have a home on sale way. I received a bill for $1,500 for about 2 hours worth of work. That looks to me like the town has entered into an agreement with a contractor for a time and material job. I think if the records were kept on individual pieces of property, how much time, labor, equipment, and everything, and you sent that out with the bill. I don't know if the contractor could have justified the cost that he's sticking all these people with. And you wouldn't have all these people in this room because they have no idea of how much labor, material, markup, what they bought. And that's my opinion.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, David Cencio, as you went. Thanks for your service, first of all. But I have a question. Does any of you have any experience on the job of this project of this magnitude? Anybody ever done anything like this? Because it's a pretty big job. It doesn't look like you guys knew exactly what you were doing at all.
You blew it.
Exactly, and that's terrible, but you, all of us are suffering because of your ineptitude. And that isn't right. I don't think so.
I'm Sandy Kraft on North Point. I have a question about, do we own these meters? We bought them, is that what you're saying? So we didn't really have a choice in what kind of meter we got. We were just kind of railroaded. And if something happens to the meter that you had put in, am I responsible to fix it? What happens? How do I know it's not a faulty meter, that you could have got much better meters? If something happens to the meter, I want to know who's going to be responsible to fix it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Katie Parker. I'm on Newport Drive, and I was home the day that they came. And three of us were all there, simplest ever. And my neighbor's bill is 777, mine's 1540. Exact same installation. So I want to know how I can appeal this without jeopardizing my credit. Because if you have the same installation and you're charging per the difficulty of the installation, I don't see how they can be $700-$800.
Good evening, Cal Dickman, Church of the Court. I have a proposal for the board. There's a lot of discrepancy here and a lot of disgruntled people. The biggest discrepancy is the side-by-side meters being charged from one end to the other. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. My proposal is that the board defer the payment. As the gentleman said, this was not a billing, it was more of a demand, a ridiculous demand for a private homeowner to be required to pay either the amount or go into a loan situation. Defer that until this whole billing fiasco is audited house by house. This was done, furnish a detailed billing, and give us some more time to consider this. At least give us some time to have some recourse. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Frank Morgan, 1700 River Lake Road. What I'm hearing is the real upset folks here is because of the side-by-side stuff, like the gentleman just said. So the question that comes to my mind is, who guarded the hen house? Who was in charge of quality control? Did the town have a person go around and verify that? Or was the contractor in charge of determining the price for each installation? We had three different choices, tier one, whatever, tier two, tier three. All the meters should have been the same price. So any variance between a property should be itemized by the contractor to justify those costs. So when you have people that have side-by-side neighbors, $2,500 and $1,500, if that contractor doesn't have a good reason, a good story of why it's $2,500 for one and $1,500 for another, you should go back to the contractor and make them eat that back to the tier that they agreed that that was. I mean, we all start with the same baseline, tier one, two, or three. It's the extra work that you're getting charged that runs that price up. I know as in my line of work, if I'm going to charge more than what I quoted, our baseline, I have to justify it. So as a board, I thank you for what you did. Nobody likes paying. We all have to. That's the bottom line. But it should be a fair price for fair work rendered. And if the contractor was less than honest about what he was doing, we should look at that. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Here's your chance.
So my name is Stephen Lorraine. I'm at 5731 Holland Drive. So I agree with everything, but when I sit back and listen, I do have some questions for you. From my background as a CPA, did we do a fixed bid, number one? Why was there a tier one, two, and three? It sounds like they picked 400 of one, 700 of another, and 300 of another to make it 3 million. And I agree with the last person. We should have all paid a flat rate and prove that they're going to charge us more. Even if you give me my list of bill and you call me a tier one, and when I hear some of these outrageous prices, mine is actually low. So you give me what the list should be for a tier one. How do I know I was a tier one? How does somebody know they're a tier three? I just think there's no transparency, and I think we've got to have an answer what we can do and not just pay in 30 days.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please.
My name is Janet Dean. I'm at 5455 Edgeview Drive. I spoke to a friend tonight and asked her what her bill was, and she is west of Bixler, so the Centex homes, and they got their meters, I think, about a year or two ago. And she said, well, they didn't have to replace anything, they just added a meter. They were on the property tax like we are, and then they got converted to meters. She did not get charged at all for her meter installation, for the cost of the meter, or for the cost of the widgets or whatever they use to put on the meter. So I'm wondering why they don't get charged, but we are being charged.
Shelly Freilich, I live at 909 Middle Circle. And my concern is just a little bit different. I think people would like to learn how to read their meters. We had no interaction with the people as far as being able to actually read our meters. And I also wanted to comment that the communication was really just horrible. I was on a meter reading project myself, a meter installation project in Santa Clara. And first of all, they never charge their citizens for the meters or the construction. And they have over 50,000 citizens. The discrepancy is quite egregious as well. And then I also wanted to comment that no one even knew that we didn't even have meters in stock to install them. So there was no communication to the rest of the homeowners that the project was on hold and that there was meters were backlogged until I raised the question. Thank you.
Hi, I'm 524 Sheffield Cars from Scarborough West. I just want to follow up on that lady stuff. We had meters installed in Humphrey like 5 years ago. And so it was a flat rate, and you guys never did a price for it. And we've been being billed. So we've been having a water bill, which I guess the rest of you guys haven't. In that time for 5 years, that would add up probably about $1,500. So I think you guys have been more than fair. That you have come to the meetings, you guys came to when the financial guy was really on the phone. I think you've been more than fair. So this kind of one thing that I think you know, right now it's down to the wire for these people and it's set up. But I think you have to have fair notice. I just want to give you guys support.
Any other comments?
No, I didn't.
Last chance? Okay, thank you very much.
Let the reporter go.
I am going to close public comment. I want to thank you all for your comments. I want to tell you how difficult it is to be up here for all of us. We had to make difficult decisions. We have written down your questions. We take this very seriously. And we want to try to address these the best we can. Don't know quite how we're going to do that at this point, but I'm going to turn this over to staff and see if they have any comments that they would like to make at this point.
Well, I have a recommendation.
Okay.
Because obviously this is at the board's direction and discretion to how you want to handle these questions and how we move on from here, but I have a recommendation. And I don't know that it's going to make everybody here happy, but I'm going to make the recommendation nonetheless. What I'm hearing from listening to the questions and having been here through all of this is we have different individuals with different knowledge base. You've got some people that were here a year plus ago that saw it from the very beginning and came in and pounded and screamed, and we had not quite this full of a room, but we had a similar full room when this board was taking action and was going to take action to make it a flat across the board. We had this kind of same testimony for hours on end where the public had requested the tier approach so they weren't spreading the cost. We have individuals here that have picked some information up off of the website. All of the hearings, including all of the packets, all of the bids, all of the bid documents, all of the agenda packets, all of the financial plans that were discussed ad nauseum through the hearing process are all on the website. Sounds like some people have read those and seen those. We've got a very clear ordinance for your water on the website. Seems like some people have seen that and know that and know that there's an appeal process and a process to challenge. That is on your website. Is it in the Discovery Bay Water Ordinance? It's section, or it's ordinance number 7. It says revised right next to it. It's a brand new, relatively new, within the last 60-day ordinance that's been adopted. It has an appeal process identified in there. So based on the fact that we have all of these different views and knowledge bases to start with, I don't think it makes sense for me to try to run through and go through some of the questions. I think it's only going to elicit more. Or I'm going to have to back way up to the beginning and walk everybody back through a year approach. We have individuals that come up and said, I went to all the meetings, I was told how much. Everybody was told how much it was going to cost. And so I think with that knowledge base difference, my recommendation would be for staff to go back, contemplate this tomorrow immediately, figure out how we're going to handle it, and post something on the website within a short period of time. Now, I can't guarantee it's going to be tomorrow. I'm not going to say it's going to be next week. I don't want to put a specific date on it, but try to answer some of the questions that have been raised in terms of people calling. Sounds like some people got in, some people didn't. Just a matter of when you call, probably. I didn't get in today. I called and didn't get in today. I called back about 10 minutes later and got a hold of somebody. So that would be my recommendation to the board. I just think it's too difficult. I think I've tried to answer some of the basic questions in terms of there is an appeal process. It's identified. It's very specific. I'm not going to provide legal advice to any of your constituents here in terms of how they go about appealing, but it is identified in plain English in the ordinance under sections, under Ordinance 7, Section 31. So that would be my recommendation. I had two questions that I want to make sure I answered. The appeal process. In terms of transparency, obviously we're attempting to be so. You know, no matter when you send out the letter, I don't know which letter gets seen as you're not transparent before you send it. So when do you send the right letter? And the last item that I wanted to make sure that I covered was there's been a lot of questions about liens and lawsuits and things like that. There is an appeal process. You have to exhaust your administrative remedies before you can go sue a public agency such as yourself. Once they've exhausted their administrative remedies, the decisions are final and there is the ability for them to go file a petition for writ against this entity. That being said, your recourse in terms of how you handle non-payment, you have lots of options. Liens are one of them. The one that most water districts and that go to is you can turn off water, quit providing service. You are allowed through the water code to set a regulatory fee, and as an unfunded mandate, you are allowed and obligated to provide that service and provide the services as the state points out. As you recall, we went through the dialogue of why aren't we waiting till 2025? The decision of the board was as things continue to ramp up and more districts need these water meters, because it is a state mandated issue, that the cost would only go higher. So you made a decision to try to reduce costs now. There was lots of discussions on how to finance, how to bond. I see some members here that were present, but I think it's just best at this point in time to take all of these questions, add to the frequently asked questions on your website, and provide them on your website. That would be my recommendation, and have no further dialogue at this point in time.
We set a deadline for May 15th. Is there any flexibility in that?
I would include that our discussion tomorrow with staff help make that determination in terms of whether there's needs to be an extension or not. Sounds like
I think the way I what I'm hearing and the way I feel it to be more fair, I think that deadline, because of the burden that this is causing on staff, that it's maybe not fair to the public to have to make that decision without seeing. I mean, we can provide what's being asked for. It just takes time. So therefore, maybe that deadline is not reasonable. But I don't know the facts behind the deadline. So
right. Well, I don't want to. I'm not going to by any chance throw staff under the bus or myself under the bus on this one. As several members have spoke about, this is a year and a half plus long process. So it's not like this was sprung on those that were either looking at the newspaper, attending meetings, looking at the website, getting email blasts, following Discovery, following Nextdoor. There's lots of different ways, but in terms of, in light of the number of people that they've received calls from, I want to go back and discuss with staff how can they respond to them in a timely manner without extending. If that's a possibility to be able to get all the information out to the public in a timely manner, then maybe we don't need to extend. But without sitting down with staff, I'd rather not make that. I've heard that request clear. The board heard the request clear. I think we should discuss it among staff.
I took notes on some of the questions, but I think I've got about three or four basic questions I'd like to have time for staff to answer. One of them, what was the difference in cost between the COVID, the smart meter, and just the standard meter that you would have to have a body read? Did we ever look at that at all?
We did. I don't recall. It was a little over a year ago.
I don't need an exact number, but is it like $100 difference? So less.
That was the Badger meter.
So $50 difference?
Yes.
Okay. So $50 difference, and we don't have to have a meter. There was a comment made about stolen meters and people having to pay for those. Were there any stolen meters?
No, I've been here 7 years. I've never heard of meters being stolen.
Over 10 years ago, 10 years plus, a group of brass water meters were stolen from a building that we have. They got recovered the next 2 days later by the Modesto Police Department.
All right, that's 10 years ago. Nothing to do with this project.
That is correct.
The other question I have, why can't we use a credit card for payment? Assuming it's because it costs more money for the credit card, is that right?
Well, we don't have a credit card service in-house.
Okay.
So through Express Bill Pay to pay your water bill, you can use a credit card. So if you finance it, you can use a credit card that way. But we do not have a credit card service in-house.
All right. Pay in full, you can't because you're out of the process. Okay. We have to do a prevailing wage on this project. There is a crew of people out there, even though everybody saw two guys and one guy and another guy's come. Overall, what was the approximate amount of men that were on the street coming through doing the work, and what's the average prevailing wage for those people?
I don't know the average
The prevailing wage depends on what classification those people are. So you have laborer and operator, things like that, and it's on the contractor to pay their, what we require is that the contractor pay their people prevailing wage, because the state says we have to do that. So they're responsible for that, paying their people.
Right, but when you're at the $25 to $50 an hour wage, I'm assuming.
You're at union wage usually, yes.
Correct, so that's part of the cost. There was a comment made about Syntex Homes getting free meters. I don't believe that to be true. Most of the time, just like the meters going in at lakes or lake shores, those are being put in and they are being charged to the homeowner who buys the property. It's just part of the sales price of the house. You don't even know it. And then on the, as far as learning how to read a meter, it's on the website, so you can actually watch your own meter if you go on the website and find that. The other question was one, more importantly, who was watching the construction crews as they went down the street? And I know that we had a system for that. Could we just brief on that?
We did have a system for that. So we hired Rudolph Scalamini, Judy, our project engineer, and we had a construction manager out there. We also had two inspectors out there. So what we did was we had a field service gentleman who went by and looked at potential problem units or problem meter installs. Then we had our inspectors that went through with JW Backhoe, and they would go through and look at each meter and decide what type it was before they did the install. So, and then as they were doing the install, you had inspectors watching it, going through and making sure that there weren't any change orders that were done without being signed off. So all change orders were signed off by either a inspector of, you know, whether from Budor or from Virgil or from Aaron or Matt, who was working on the project.
So all the labor time that was at the individual's home was recorded for that specific project?
It depended if it was a time and material install. So when they bid the project, they bid it for a type 1, a type 2, and type 3 at specific costs. So a type 1 was $95 to install, a type 2 was $290 to install, and a type 3 was $950 to install. They would go through and they would decide what type of install each property was before the install was done. And they would all sign off on that.
Okay, so what was the cost of a meter? What was the cost of a box?
Okay, so the cost of a 1-inch meter with tax and everything was $222.70. The tax, the cost of a 3/4-inch meter was $197 and I can't remember the cents, sorry. The boxes varied. There were many types of boxes. So there was a B9 box, there was a B12 box.
Could be averaging.
20, yeah, so they're about, so boxes were probably around $20, $23. Okay, lids about $17 to $19, $20.
All right, so roughly $250 to $300 for the meter, a box, some fittings and all that, and the rest is labor. And the cost of those meters is basically the same for everyone.
The cost of the meters and the readers are exactly the same. The cost of the materials are exact dollar amount, and they're the same for everybody. The cost of all the shared costs are the exact dollar amount and the same for everybody across the board. And that includes JW shared costs, that includes Rudolph Scalamini shared costs, and any district shared costs. The fluctuation came with time and materials for the install, or the type 1, type 2, and type 3 meter installs.
Thank you.
That's not correct.
So just, there's one important thing, I think, for communications. We've advertised this a few times. We've lost a few. I wish they would have remained to hear this. You can go to our website and log into it's called an email blast, and I recommend everyone do it. There are topics. Water meter is one of those. That every time there's an update, it goes out to everybody on that list. And Carol, how many do we have signed up today?
280.
So 280, which is dismal. It's a great tool. It's a great opportunity. You don't get bugged. You have to sign into it because we aren't going to try to push it to you unless you want it. There's other subjects you can have, but I really highly recommend you move into that, and you'll get more information. The transparency is there. You just have to know where to find it.
You have to exhale yourself to it. Great terminology.
You can take that any way you want, but we are trying to get information out.
You have to bail yourself.
Okay. Public comment. We had our opportunity. Again, I want to thank you all for coming down here and expressing your concerns. That's a very difficult position to be in, to be on that side of the dais and getting a bill that you don't understand completely, and it's very difficult to be on this side of the dais and have to explain it. So we're going to do the best we can to address your questions, and we're going to do the best we can to get back to you as soon as possible. We've heard you. We'll respond. At this time, I'm going to take about a 5-minute, Bernie, if you're better with me, I'm going to take about a 5-minute recess, because I think this is why most of you people are here. And so as you leave, it will cause some disruption. So I'm going to take a 5-minute recess. Okay, guys, let's wrap this thing up. Appreciate everybody being here. Appreciate the two that stayed. Sorry. Guys, that was difficult, and but it necessary. And we will answer to the questions that were asked, and we will answer as we can. So, moving to the next item on the agenda, Bernie.
Mike and I should have talked about this during the break as well, but I'll speak out of turn and try to make. Likely, you're going to need a special meeting. Your next meeting would be, well, I guess, only 2 weeks down the path, but if we're going to, you know, staff can give you some recommendations, but the design of what we've done here and the design of how it was rolled out and the design of how we made the change and the design of the tier was all at the direction, recommendations of staff, but all at the direction of the board. And so in order to make some other additional changes, in order to do something different, in order to think about different things that we were asked to think about, we may need some direction from the board. So I just wanted to say it out loud that there's likely a need for a special meeting, or maybe. And I don't know about the 2 weeks, I think.
And if the special meeting takes place, Dina will be the acting general manager, because I'm going to be gone starting Friday and not returning until the Monday afternoon.
But we will have council present if need be, correct? Okay.
Let me make a comment on that. As far as the special meeting, I think the concern that I heard about trying to do something, give people a little longer time to decide whether they wanted to pay all in front or make it on payments, was based on the fact that they didn't have their itemized bill yet. So my question is, I know you have a ton of calls and all that, what do you anticipate being able to respond and get the itemized bills out to the folks that have got you?
That would be a nightmare, and it would take weeks.
Well, I'm not saying send one to every homeowner. I'm talking just the people that have requested.
Well, we do it immediately. What we have done is we respond to the phone messages in order. I do have to say that one of the reasons for the delay is we had a person out sick the first 2 days. So we were working with limited staff, but we were returning phone calls, and we were asking them also if they wanted an itemized list, and we were immediately emailing them back to them within 5 minutes. Then we'd go to the next phone call. They were getting emailed those itemized lists within 5 minutes of a discussion with them, I would say, on average.
I think a lot of this is going to go away once they get to your itemized list. So my feeling, and I'm only speaking for myself, I think we should just hold firm on the dates that we set now and just move forward.
So let me just counter that to a degree. I think the 30 days is a big issue and worthy of talking about to see if that has any kind of flexibility on it. I think that's an important issue. The other is, I didn't hear any questions that I don't believe that this staff can't answer. And I believe those answers have to be compiled in a very organized fashion so they can be put back into the public's ears. And how that is special session, we can gather the information there, and whether it be the next meeting that we have, I don't know, but we have to come back as we did in the previous time when we had them coming in earlier.
Understood. The one question that I did hear that I'm scratching my head on is from the investment consultant that says it's very difficult. I mean, it's always going to be a moving target, right? And so is there another way to find out how many people want to pay up front versus how many want to invest, rather than wait until we get checks from all those that paid up front on the 15th? Because there may be people that, if they see only 5 people paid up front on the 15th, they'd want to invest, or they'd want to take the finance. As he said, you know, as I was trying to tell him, 25%, if only 25% wanted to finance, it's still a good deal on your money. But he's got a point, so I'm not sure, you know, it's a chicken and egg. It's a cart before the horse scenario. I don't know how, I mean, I have trouble wrapping my head around it. So that'd be the only thing that I'd think of that we're struggling in terms of being able to answer the question. All the rest of these, you're absolutely right. Transparency, bid, side-by-side comparison, consultants review, over, all of these have clear answers. And if they avail themselves to what's on the internet, if they avail themselves to what's in the newspaper, avail themselves to any of the staff reports that have been written, most of these questions are answered. So I think we can do that quickly, but it's processing the time.
And just a thought, as you say that, maybe we can combine the date, the due date, by extending a little leeway on that, but have the cards in by that date showing who's going where. So no payment yet on the 15th. We get the cards in, we can advertise to the public what the numbers are.
I'll look at Mike right now. We need to get together tomorrow morning and just head sit down and figure
this out. I think I know the answer to this question, but I want to ask you. There is no way the data is available to be put onto the website of the breakdown of cost per lot, is there?
Per meter, could you tell each one, could you put the itemized bill online?
We have the data, but is it in a format that can be put on the meter so I could go to my parcel and see what my cost breakdown is? Or is that a 6 month project?
Can we do that?
Like I said, let staff meet.
Okay, that's the special. All right. Because that would solve a lot of problems.
That's probably a stupid question.
I want some clarity on the interest calculations and how that might be allocated. Like I said, one person finances and the other, everybody else opts out. I'd like to just know after you, in your discussions tomorrow, because that would impact me saying, yeah, maybe the 15th is too firm of a date.
Okay.
Well, I know if I'm finance.
And you're finance.
That's the easiest thing.
If you're going to be there for more than 5 years, finance it.
Okay. Forever. Don't make any difference.
Doesn't matter. You're only there for a year.
I'm five, Vance. Bernie, you're up. Sorry, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks for your patience.
I'm back.
Veolia Water Report, please. Don't give us a bill.
I'm not.
Okay.
Make this pretty sweet, simple. For the month of March, they continue to progress safely with the staff. 151,000 hours, over 9 years.
Is it on?
Yeah. Sorry. Safety training, hearing protection, safety guards. All monthly reports were submitted to the state on time. Wells are active. 41 million gallons of water was sent out to the community. Flushings continue to flush hydrants throughout the community. Zero water production. Reduction was about literally 51% compared to 2013, so the rain really helped on our water conservation in the month of March. We had almost 2.5 inches of rain. As water production goes, so does the hypo. The wastewater plant running great, well within our parameters. We're almost producing drinking water quality right now, so things are going very well. No excursions, all lift stations are running, treated a little over 38 million gallons of water. We did flush a few lines, and staff continue to do a great job on keeping PMs and preventive maintenance. Over 300 work orders were done in the month of March. The backlog is at a very minimum, and those ones you asked about last month on October 30, we got some of those lonely parts in, they're dropping slowly, but down to four. Only one call out in the whole month.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your report. Thank you for your usual fine job.
Thank you.
Aren't you glad you're not on the water side?
So the rains are out.
Doctor's appointment
yes.
4:30.
Okay.
I'll cancel all of it. Do it in the morning. I can't be out here.
F, staff. Hey, come on up. Good evening.
Hey, brother.
How are we tonight?
Yeah.
I'm here to seek approval to award a contract to Adams Pool Solutions for the renovation, repiping of the community center swimming pool. We did send out an RFP as directed on February 7th. Received only two bids on it. The high bid was twice what the low bid was. We did add in some money for ADA improvements to this facility as required by the county, and we also put in some contingency money for it. And the second item, we're requesting to send out an RFP for the pool equipment enclosure.
That's still the old, nothing's been done over that yet, has it?
No.
And the ADA compliance is the work is contingent upon bringing it up to ADA compliant by county, is that correct, the permit?
What the county is requiring on this facility, every time we pull a permit to do any type of work on the facility, in addition to the project we're doing, they require 10% on top of that in ADA improvements.
Period.
Period.
Gotcha. Okay. Any discussion from the public on that? Is there anything else you want to add, staff?
Nope.
Any comments from the public with regards to that? Any questions from the board with regards to that?
I have a question. I guess the comment that I have is, I think at this particular point with our pool, we have to decide whether we're going to have a pool or not have a pool. That's kind of what this boils down to me. It's a lot of money to fix a pool, and there's going to be ongoing maintenance year after year, so we've got an additional black hole similar to the building that we're in. But I think it's a decision whether the community has a swimming pool or doesn't have a swimming pool. And I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that.
So yes, it is money, but what we've done in the past year, 2 years, is to put nickels and dimes into it. We haven't really solved the problem. The problem is underground. So this solution that you presented to us is underground, and this is, I had asked you last time you presented, is this a save all? I realize you can't say that with
100%. It's a save all for the circulation system. You still will have issues with your equipment, as in pumps, and we replace the chlorine chemical pump every year that gets overworked. We've already replaced a motor for the main pump on the pool system. There are two controllers that control the pool. There's requirements for replacing the traps for anti-traps in the swimming pool. That's coming up anyway, so that's got to be done regardless of what we do here. Longevity wise, if we want to run a pool, this is the way to go. If you don't want to run a pool, obviously you don't want to run a pool.
So good point. And if we were to stop the pool would have to be removed, I presume, and there's a lot of dollars in trying to remove that properly. So the save all is to make it right. So don't put the nickels and dimes into it. Fix it right and get it to run. I have put a pool in 2 years ago, I think I mentioned, and it purrs like a kitten, and I'm almost embarrassed that I do very little work on it. If we get the right equipment in, get the plumbing right, get the electrical right, get the skimmers working there where they're supposed to. And I caution you, I know you said at one point you picked something up from eBay. Be careful picking up used equipment. I know it saves us money, but make sure you get the warranty.
We don't shop on eBay.
Okay. Make sure
you get it. I might personally, but not for the town.
Warranties for a town like this come in handy.
Yeah, I don't do that very anymore.
Okay. So this one, the way I look at it is that we're willing to put enough money into it to make it sustainable for 10 years, 15 years, and that doesn't mean we don't maintain it. We don't have to replace the big, large items. So that's what I look at.
Yep.
Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion that we move ahead and get the swimming pool repaired.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded.
We're also asking authority to go out for an RFP on the chemical shed.
New staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Let's get it done, Brian, as soon as possible. Standing committee reports. Anything that we have a meeting tomorrow, so I don't know. You guys had somebody on here today.
We had a record in park commission we did discuss the pool situation. We also talked a little bit about trying to come up with a way to enhance the front entrance. There's also going to be a dog show, pause on parade, something like that.
I'm emceeing that, so it's going to be a good product.
That's all the ears.
Bring in my dog.
The ears of the beholder. But anyway, that's the rec committee today.
So I had attended the last P6 meeting, and they're getting more and more interesting. They did talk about Battalion Chief Ross McCumber, who presented here tonight, presented the AED program to the police. His intent was to get an AED into every police car. Some of the other counties in Northern California have this program in, so they're going to pursue it. But they did ask for a little help from us, if we could, General Manager. If there is any bond or grant, not bonds, but grants, I said that wrong, any grants that might be available to aid in the police law enforcement coming up to speed with AEDs, if there is any time, if we can ask them to at least look at whether there's something there that would help the P6 program. So the three that we've got that they showed posted that Ross had, we believe there's more in Discovery Bay, and maybe we can give a hand in trying to locate those as well. That was the big issues with the discussion of B6.
Chris, you have
anything? Pause at the park or pause on parade.
Pause on parade.
It's coming up on April 28th. It's going to start from 9 to 12 at the community center. It's a Saturday. It's going to be a dog friendly event, and we're looking to bring some awareness as far as adoptions and also vaccinating and the licensing your dogs bundle.
Okay. General Manager report?
No report.
Council?
Nothing.
I would note under correspondence that there were some letters that were submitted with regards to the water meter project. They're in the record and they're back on the table back there. Are there any future agenda items? I am going to hold off on my future agenda items until I've come here back from staff.
So, question, does water meters go on the next agenda?
That's what I was going to hold off on.
That's after we have the question.
Yeah, let's let them have their meeting and make a recommendation. Okay. And we'll figure out if Dean is going to be running the next thing. If anything else for the good of the cause? Means adjourned.